Live from San Francisco on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network, you are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with your hosts, Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi.
Are you ready?
Let's get it on!
How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline at USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, the American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, iHeartRadio, iTunes, TuneIn Radio. List goes on and on. The most listened to daily pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. We were off yesterday, maybe off tomorrow. Depends on how much I can read in a single day as I finish up the audiobook for Death of WCW. But we're back here live for a Thursday show. Dave Meltzer is going to be joining us in the second segment of the show. In the final segment of the show, Bill McKenna is going to be on and talk about WWE toys. We got some new stuff coming out. Talk about that here on the program today. And in the first segment, a lot of stuff over the last couple of days. We've got the SmackDown show to talk about. If you have thoughts on SmackDown, text them to me, 425-780-7566. Probably not taking phone calls, so send me your text messages, 425-780-7566. You can also tweet me, at Brian Alvarez. I am on Twitter, Mike Sempervivi, at Sempervivi. Sports Byline is at Sports Byline USA. We can talk about all of the different things, including everything that is going on leading into SummerSlam. We have got a card for the show. We've got Apollo Creed, as Daniel Bryan called him, getting himself an Intercontinental Championship match on that show. We've got Rhino winning a Michigan House Republican primary for real, and he's up for election in November. He's also got a match with Heath Slater next week. If you saw NXT, if you saw the Cruiserweight Classic, you're welcome to give us a call about that. We can talk about USADA ramping up drug testing. GSP is not back. They're already betting odds for his match with Tyrone Woodley, should he come back for a championship match. All of this stuff and more to be discussed today on the program. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.
Tired of calls, levies, and liens from the IRS or hiring others who don't get the job done? Call Wall & Associates and you'll never talk to the IRS again. The IRS has a program to eliminate tax debt, and Wall & Associates professionals are trained to maximize its benefits for you. You always speak with a live person with real support and real knowledge. We've helped thousands of taxpayers like you settle their tax debt with the IRS for a fraction of what they owe. We solve tax problems. Call Wall & Associates now, 800-480-5708. We have the professionals who know how to solve tax problems. If you owe money to the IRS, your tax problems are not going away by themselves, and the passage of time will only make matters worse. Act now, before it's too late. Call Wall & Associates right now to speak to a professional tax relief agent. Call 800-480-5708. That's 800-480-5708. Again, 800-480-5708.
Hi, Rick Tittle here. You may know me as the sports talk host that can talk about all sports: football, basketball, baseball, hockey, soccer, golf, tennis, auto racing, boxing, Olympics, rollerball. But this time I'm here to talk about pain. If you have pain in your knee or your back like I do, then you should know about the Health Alert Hotline. If Medicare is your primary insurance, then you could qualify for a back or knee brace at little or no charge. I have an old injury from my football playing days, and anything that can help take that pain away and make it more manageable, that has my attention. I love the free delivery, and they take care of the paperwork for you. So if you have Medicare and need help for back, ankle, knee, or shoulder pain, please call the Health Alert Hotline at 800-428-1570. That's 800-428-1570. 1570. Agents are standing by 24/7, so go ahead and call now, 800-428-1570.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 877-663-7126 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 877-663-7126 to take your call now. Call 877-663-7126. That's 877-663-7126. Again, 877-663-7126.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Back live here today, and lots to talk about, not the least of which, since we weren't here yesterday, the SmackDown show with this Dean Ambrose Dolph Ziggler promo, which is about the most talked about thing all week so far. Dean Ambrose coming out there and baring his soul about Dolph Ziggler. All you do is complain. All you do is whine. You complain about your spot and being held down, and meanwhile, I come out here and win. And you're too concerned about stealing the show. I don't even know what to make of it because he's absolutely right. And it's weird because he's so right that should Dolph Ziggler actually be winning the championship from this guy at SummerSlam? And if not, he's got to be turning heel, I presume. What's happening here?
I would hope he's turning heel, but no one made it even more forceful was the fact that Dean Ambrose was preaching. See how he fell into Dusty Rhodes mode, fell into preacher man mode, standing up there, getting the feeling, beating on Dolph Ziggler and just hammering him into the ground. Because as you have always said, what exactly is a show off anyway? You know, what exactly is Dolph Ziggler doing? And I know they're playing kind of somewhat on reality here with all of the people over the years that have told Dolph Ziggler to slow down during his matches, to listen to this or to that, and they're trying to incorporate that in as some sort of to offer him some sort of sympathy from the fans that he is giving so much to them and doing it in the way that they want him to do it, that he has sacrificed himself, he has martyred himself. And Dean Ambrose really basically broke that down to its smallest little minutia. And for people like you, and there are a lot of people like you out there that just kind of look at the Dolph character and look at his promos and kind of just turn their nose up at it and have been pretty much done with it for a long time. It gave you something, I guess, to be invested about in the storyline. But the bigger question is, and the scarier part is Dolph Ziggler going to win the championship? As much as they need new stars, as much as they need to rebuild Dolph Ziggler, as much as they need fresh things, that's a scary thought with him winning the title. But they've set it up in such a way where you could see him actually, you know, doing the overcome deal and them having everybody in their minds go home happy after the pay-per-view on Sunday. I guess you could do that. I am more of the mindset that you use this as an opportunity to turn him heel. And I know the babyface side on SmackDown needs as much help as it could possibly get because of how limited it is. But unless you're going to take this as a pure motivation thing for Dolph Ziggler, which is we'll have to see how that storyline could possibly play out where he loses, but he stays a good guy and keeps on the positive charge of moving ahead. I know, exactly. I mean, it just doesn't work at all. So for me, the obvious answer is be a heel, which he's much better off at anyway, especially with the gimmick that he has. And you know what? And I hate to say this, because the women's roster is so limited and they're talking about bringing a title over there and having people wrestle. You got a lot of women over there who, I'm not going to say, are better off on somebody's arm, but all red everything in Dolph Ziggler could be the most annoying thing next to Miz and Maryse.
All right, let me jump in. This thing with Dolph is weird because, yes, the story, it's a great story. There's a lot of stories that are great stories, but when you look at the context of everything, there's a lot of problems. This Dolph storyline is great, but when somebody comes out, yeah, it is. When somebody comes out and they talk about how you have dropped the ball and you have, somebody compared this to the Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens storyline in NXT. And they're right, but there is a big difference between Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn and the storyline they had and the Dolph Ziggler-Dean Ambrose storyline. And that is that Sami Zayn was protected. Sami Zayn was a guy that, yeah, he may have lost the big one here or there, but he won all of his other matches. And nobody saw Sami Zayn as a loser. And so when you had a guy come out and Kevin Owens would call him a loser, you're a failure, you can't do it, blah, blah, blah. The fans knew, you know what? He's not a loser. He wins all the time, but something always happens on the big one that prevents him from winning the title. This is not the case with Dolph Ziggler. Dolph doesn't win the big one, and Dolph always doesn't win the little ones either. And so you've got a guy who really is seen as a total mid-carder that you're now doing this story where, you know what, I'm going to achieve. I'm going to do what I was never able to do before. Meanwhile, they talk about how he's a two-time champion, which kind of spoils the story, but I don't know about the idea on the B show of a guy who's a B player beating Dean Ambrose and becoming the champion. I just...
Not only that, I don't know why you want to point out that he's a B player, because here's where
but
I
he
don't
is.
Think...
He... That's the problem with
I know exactly. You know, you're exactly right. You're exactly right, but that's also why I don't think this is a great storyline. I mean, it could turn into one. It could take a lot of twists and turns and have a lot of psychology that makes it great, but... Exactly what you're talking about. Sami Zayn was a winner. I mean, if we're taking this and talking about it in sports terms, you know, a guy who got hit with a unfortunate, lucky, you know, rainbow punch by the other guy at the end and loses, or slips, you know, whatever the banana peel ending is, where you want to see that team and that Sami Zayn, you know, the lovable losers, and you want to, you know, not lovable losers, but you know what I mean, you know, trying to get over the top to win that World Series or win that, you know, Stanley Cup trophy. You know, the push to do that, there's people interested in that. Whereas, like you said, Dolph Ziggler has not only been portrayed as a B player, he's been less than that a lot of the time. And he's been made to look like a goof, and he's got a goofy... I'm sorry, everything about him is pretty much goofy right now with how he's been portrayed, because he hasn't won, and he has been on the downside and in bad storylines and all that stuff, where some of that impact is gone, where, to me, the only shining star in this right now is Dean Ambrose because of that promo. Now, we'll have to see where it moves forward, but... It's because of who's involved in the story that I don't think it's that great, and I think that's a bigger... It shows a bigger part of SmackDown where... Again, it's a good storyline. Maybe it turns into a great one, but I'm not invested in that, sold in it, because I've seen this Dolph a million times, and I'm frankly more worried about him winning the title so that we have a big surprise thing, which it's not like they haven't done that before.
Listen, here's why I think it's great. It's great because it's true. Now, it may end up being a terrible storyline in the end if he wins the belt and he's looked at as a B player on the B show and the title's a... That, it may all fall apart, but right now, it's true and it's real, and that's why it's good. You can't go out there and say, I am facing Dolph Ziggler. He is an A-plus player, and he always wins. No. Anything you say about him, it's going to be a lie, except for what Dean Ambrose said. So now... It's great now because it's real, but the key is, now what? Does he lose? I think, to me, he's got to lose, and he's got to snap, and he's got to go heel, and then he's got to prove to everybody that he can beat everybody. I think it's too early, based on the way that we've all seen Dolph Ziggler booked over the last 2 years or 3 years or ever since he was a cheerleader. I think it's too early for him to... go from being a B-plus, actually, I mean a B-plus player. It's giving him too much credit. He's a B-minus player right now. Whatever you say about the guy Nick Nemeth, I'm not even talking about that. If you watch the show, he's a B-minus guy, maybe C-plus. It's too early for him to get all up in arms and go and beat Dean Ambrose. I think he's got to lose. I think he's got to snap. And I think he's got to improve it from there or something. I don't even know.
It's a remedial version, but he needs to kind of take that Naito path. You know, you burn out enough, lose, and again, it's a little bit of a different situation, but he doesn't just win right away. You build him back up as a heel where everything is starting to come together for him now, and all these physical talents and all this BS that we just went through, even this thing with Dean Ambrose, now this guy is serious and can be a little bit more dangerous, and taking that sort of track with him would be far better than him just snapping and winning the belt either at SummerSlam or shortly thereafter.
At the end of the day, all that matters is it was a great segment, and so far it is a pretty intriguing storyline.
Glass ceiling.
Listen, that was the week before. They turned that into a storyline. So good for them. Dean didn't mention glass ceiling, but after that glass ceiling promo, I flipped my lid, and then Dean came out and did my same promo, just with no profanity. I was so pleased. Back in a moment with Dave, Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network.
My joints used to kill me. I'd wake up with stiff knees and a stiff back, and it wouldn't get much better throughout the day. I went to doctors and took almost every supplement you can think of, and nothing seemed to help. Then I found something called Oil Can Joint Lubricant. They use only top-of-the-line, all-natural ingredients, and I know many companies make similar claims, but here's the big difference. Oil Can ingredients are scientifically formulated to work together faster than anything else in the marketplace. That's guaranteed. I take Oil Can every day. My knee pain was gone in just a few days. So if you have knee pain, back pain, and you've tried everything, try Oil Can Joint Lubricant risk-free right now. I'm confident you'll have fewer aches and pains within days, or we will gladly refund your money. Call right now. 800-989-1795. 800-989-1795. 800-989-1795. 800-989-1795.
When you struggle with credit card bills every month, you're not just in debt. Debt is all around you.
I see people every day that are on the brink. They're going to go over the edge, and at the bottom is bankruptcy, and we pull them back.
At the Debt Helpline, we're experts at helping you resolve your debt problems and become free of debt. We can help you pay off your debt and give you one lower monthly payment that you can afford.
You do get to consolidate your payments. You only have to worry about making one payment a month instead of making three or four or five.
If you have $5,000, $10,000 or more in credit card bills, call the Debt Helpline now for a free confidential debt analysis.
800-957-6063. 800-957-6063. Call the CESI Debt Helpline right now for a free confidential debt review. 800-957-6063. 800-957-6063.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for prescription drugs? Well, we have great news. Now you can finally get prescription drugs at huge discounts from Canada Drug Center. That's right, the most popular drugs for cholesterol, high blood pressure, depression, diabetes, arthritis, and many more are now up to 75% off. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices when you can get brand name drugs at the lowest price? Call today and get up to 75% off all the popular brand name prescription drugs. Never pay high prices again. Get the most popular drugs at huge savings from our Canadian and international pharmacies and fulfillment centers. No insurance? No problem. Prices are so low you do not need benefits or insurance to get all your prescriptions fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting to take your call now. Order today and get free shipping. Just call 800-950-1180. Up to 75% off all the popular brand name prescription drugs and free shipping. Call 800-950-1180. That's 800-950-1180.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervive on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervive and also Dave Meltzer here for his weekly segment. New Observer is available right now, August 8th issue at WrestlingObserver.com, only for subscribers. Got a lot of news in there, WWE financials, the network numbers, all sorts of things. And Dave, as you finished writing and editing the issue, anything big really stick out that we didn't talk about last week about financials?
I think that just going through, I guess the big thing is that when, if you go through like the increase in network subscribers this year and last year was far more successful. And this year was the one with the free month. I'm not saying the free month didn't work, because they did increase numbers to a degree, but they didn't increase them as much as last year without them. And the actual profit, you know, it's hard to, like, say what the exact profit of WrestleMania is, because but the way they figure it, it's a break-even show, which it's not. The way I figure it is that I credit every single person who subscribes between January and WrestleMania, or in this case, who pays after WrestleMania, that got for free at WrestleMania, to WrestleMania, and using that figuring, last year's show was a lot more profitable than this year's, even though this year, you know, grossed a lot more money. And I think we talked about the surprise of how many free tickets there were. I mean, that really surprised me this year. So, you know, it was somewhere between 12 and 24,000. They don't give an exact number. But, you know, extrapolating from different things, you can kind of get the range.
Now, we were talking yesterday in Observer Radio, totally switching gears here, about the proposed rule changes in mixed martial arts. And this was up on the MMA Fighting website here today, talking about Sean Wheelock. It says here that Wheelock already has some ideas about what he'll discuss with the committee coming up, beginning with the abolition of the ban on 12 to 6 elbows in fights. The rules committee...
Yeah, they've been wanting to do that for a long time, but the UFC was not in favor of that, so they kind of, like, didn't do it this year.
Well, it says here, the rules committee unanimously voted to recommend that foul be removed, but the removal was struck down by the ABC medical committee. So it's not just UFC. It's the medical committee as well.
That was the political answer.
Now, Filthy Tom, who is, of course, a UFC fighter, is on our show every week on the website. He is, he thinks the rule, obviously, is ridiculous. And tell everybody the history of the 12-6 rule being banned, the 12-6 elbows.
Well, what happened is in around 1999, when New Jersey came in with the new rules, which essentially, you know, you can say saved the sport. Somebody had seen those late-night karate demonstrations where they showed somebody doing, like, essentially a 12-6 elbow and going through, like, you know, all the boards or all the bricks and things like that, and they just thought that that's, like, lethal, so it should be banned. So that's where it came from.
Jim Brown hyping it up on the early UFCs, the elbow, the second hardest bone in the body.
Yeah, but, I mean, they didn't
what?
Allow those
you don't remember that?
UFC until 1999, and I recall, like, a Paul Varland fight where he was a 6'8" guy, and he, you know, he did it to Cal Worsham, I believe. It was someone he gave it to, I forgot. It may not be Cal Worsham, but, you know, and it was very effective, and in a sense when a tall guy just starts throwing elbows down, but what's the guy? Travis Brown did the same thing to Josh Barnett, but it wasn't straight down. And, you know, it had the same effect. So, you know, it's not like – it's weird because you just have to angle it to the slight degree, and then it's legal. It can't be just straight up and down. And that's just kind of – it's kind of silly if you really –
Yeah, what if you're 11-59-58?
Yeah, then it's legal.
Well, and all those swiping elbows, it's like those are the ones that pop people open over eyes and stuff like that. It's like I sort of get it because it seems to just be – it's more of an, again, it's like you mentioned, it's more of an aesthetic thing, really, than anything else of why people don't like it.
Well, you know, let me just say one thing.
The reason was medical concern because they saw those clips of things like that. So, that's what happened. I mean, it's the same reason why, you know, people wanted to ban karate chops to the throat, you know, for the same reason, you know, even though you couldn't even make that work in MMA, honestly.
Unless you're Sakuraba, maybe. If he can make double Mongolian chops work, maybe he could make it work.
You know, I will say one thing that I do think that the rule is ridiculous, but the most famous 12-6 elbow spot was John Jones and Matt Hamill. John Jones only lost DQ for that.
That was a weird situation.
He destroyed that guy with those 12-6 elbows. Holy smokes.
The guy was destroyed long before the 12-6 elbows were even thrown. He had, John Jones had hit him with like 50 shots, and it should have been stopped. And then in just throwing elbow after elbow after elbow, several of them started going 12-6. You know, because that fight should have been, you know, I mean, it's like, so then he ended up being disqualified, which is his only loss. But I remember I was at that show, and I mean, that thing was just terrible officiating because it was stopped too late. And, you know, Matt Hamill had a, I believe, a shoulder separation before he threw the first 12-6 elbow anyway. So it was just, that was just a referee that stopped the fight late. And then all of a sudden, long enough he should have stopped the fight, John just got carried away. Not even carried away. He just kept, you know, stop it. And he threw some inadvertent 12-6 elbows and ended up getting disqualified. I mean, that was just really bad officiating across the board.
Now, before he came on the show here today, we were talking about the Dean Ambrose, Dolph Ziggler SmackDown promo. And you talked a lot about how awesome Dean was on the Observer radio show last night. But one of the big questions going forward now is, this is a really interesting storyline in the sense that Ziggler has been positioned a certain way for years. Dean Ambrose comes on TV and correctly states everything about Dolph Ziggler's push the last couple of years, that he complains, he always wants to steal the show, it's not about winning, this and that. Where do you go with a Dolph Ziggler who has in fact been positioned as a guy who is not a tippy-top main eventer, but now the storyline seems to be that he could win the title at SummerSlam?
It depends on where they're going, if they want to extend the program. I just sensed that Dolph Ziggler was a guy for Dean Ambrose to beat before AJ Styles and perhaps Randy Orton are in the picture. I don't think John Cena is going to be in the picture just because John Cena's got so many other things going on, and I don't see him challenging for the title right now. But, I mean, they could. But, I mean, the original idea before John Cena got, the American Grit got renewed and all of his other commitments was that, the original idea was that Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins would be fighting for that title and the made-up title would be on SmackDown and that would be AJ Styles who would be that champion. So I sense that Dean Ambrose and AJ is the destination that they're headed, later on. And they just didn't want to do it on this show because of John and AJ still having unfinished business. So that's kind of how it all kind of turned out.
I've got a question here from a listener. Is it true that Ric Flair is no longer under contract with WWE?
I'm not certain if his contract has expired. The only thing I know is that if it's not expired today, it is expiring and he's not renewed. I know that there were talks of a new contract and he hasn't executed it yet. The old contract, I don't know the date of the expiration of the old contract though, but it was sometime relatively soon, obviously, because they were negotiating the new deal.
Do you know if they had any sort of idea about where they were going, if they were even going anywhere, when Charlotte kicked him to the curb in that storyline?
You mean as far as Rick coming back? No, they were kind of just trying to get Rick out of the picture and have Charlotte
go solo. It's so weird because it was such a setup for so many potential things. It seemed to be.
Yeah, I thought for sure. And it also had to be pretty sudden because Rick was advertised on all kinds of shows and he ended up not doing any of those shows. I mean, like, there were, you know, all kinds of shows, and I think even this Australian tour was originally advertised with Rick on the tour. But with Charlotte, and I think the Japan tour as well. And it was just, it was obviously something that wasn't planned well in advance. It was something that, you know, one day they just came up with, hey, you know what, we got to get Rick out of this thing. And that's how they did it.
It's too bad because it was a good pairing, and there were so many ways that they could have...
But I guess... The thing is, though, it kind of would be overkill to have Ric Flair and Dana Brooke both there, and Dana Brooke was the one they wanted to push. So I think that if you look at the timing, Dana Brooke came in right when they were getting rid of Rick. So you kind of look at that and can see that's probably part of the equation as well.
Well, that's another weird one because they get rid of Rick, like, completely out of nowhere, which they could have built up into something pretty cool, or at least something that would have gotten her a lot of heat if maybe he tried to help her, but...
Well, they did do some things here and there leading up to it, but yeah, it was it was still out of nowhere, and it wasn't really as good of a storyline as they could have done, for sure, yeah.
But anyway, they bring in Dana, and it's like within a week or two, they were already teasing Dissension, and I don't know what their plan was with Dana Brooke, but it has not seemingly been executed well, and every single one of her strengths that we saw in NXT, we have not seen on the main roster. And the big question is, why is she even there?
You know, the idea was to build Charlotte and Dana Brooke as a big program down the line. You know, and by having her be the apprentice, it was like the perfect way to set it up. But I don't know if that plan would still be in effect, because obviously she hasn't worked out on the main roster the way that they expected. I mean, they saw a superstar in her. I don't know if they do or they don't now, but it hasn't shown through on the main roster. That's true.
All right, Dave, I want to thank you so much for doing the show today. Dave and I will be back later on today with Dan Severin, and we'll be talking to him about his new book. And we will be back in just a moment with Bill McKenna talking the WWE toys. Back in a moment, Observer Live, Sports Byline USA Radio Network.
Results may vary.
Hello, I'm Jerry Mathers. I was the Beaver in Leave It to Beaver. And 20 years ago, I almost died from type 2 diabetes. When I was diagnosed with type 2, I was shocked. My blood sugar was through the roof. Now, the very same natural remedies I use to control my type 2 diabetes are available for you in a super easy program called the Diabetes Solution Kit. And I should know it works. I use the very same techniques to drop 40 pounds of fat, get my blood sugar under control, and watch my type 2 diabetes fade into thin air. If you have diabetes, I urge you to try this step-by-step plan. It has all the natural techniques I used, and it works a lot faster, too. I'm Jerry Mathers, and if I can do it, you can do it, too.
If you'd like to normalize your blood sugar and stop taking your diabetes medication completely with your doctor's approval, go to 2016diabetes.com. That's 2016diabetes.com. Reverse your diabetes in as little as 30 days by going to 2016diabetes.com. That's 2016diabetes.com now.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like they did for these Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can have your website built for free and up and running in as little as 7 days. Plus, promote your site on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call now to get your website built for free. If after 30 days you're happy with your new website, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for just one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing. Call 855-254-SITE, 855-254-SITE. 855-254-7483 or go to web.com/radio. There is no upfront charge for building the website, after which the ongoing fee applies. Rights to the website are relinquished upon cancellation unless otherwise purchased.
This is Glenn Hagee, America's Master Handyman, with a Grainger Tip of the Week. Using the proper tools, supplies, techniques, and procedures will usually result in getting the job done right. And getting the job done right includes being safe. Safe means that you protect yourself, your coworkers, your facility, and your company. This should be a priority. Safe does not mean not being productive. It means being careful about wearing protective gear and doing the right thing. Safety is in everyone's best interest. And now a word from Grainger.
Safety. If you know me, you know how seriously I take it. I live, eat, and breathe safety. In fact, safety is my middle name. I went to the DMV and changed it last week. First name, Mister. Middle name, Safety. Last name, ! When it comes to safety, Grainger's got my back. They've got over 100,000 safety products. Grainger helps keep our facility safe and our people safer. Call clickgrainger.com/safety or stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also WrestlingObserver.com. Bill McKenna is our guest today. We've got WWE figures and more to talk about. Bill, what's going on?
Not much. How about yourself?
Not too much. Super Toy Con is this weekend. Orleans Hotel in Las Vegas. Are you in Vegas now?
I am actually in Los Angeles. I'm driving down tomorrow morning, so hopefully the weather in Vegas changes. I heard it was kind of stormy now, so hopefully that changes.
The old drive from L.A. to Vegas. That's quite a drive. I've driven it.
Yeah, it's about 4 hours with traffic being standard, and sometimes it can be longer. Hopefully it's a nice, steady pace.
Do you enjoy Vegas, or is it kind of like, man, I got to drive to Vegas?
I do enjoy Vegas for about like 3 days at a time, and by the fourth day, I think it's it kind of wears off. So thankfully, this show is 3 days long, so it works out perfectly for me.
All right, talk about some of the big names. If you're in the Vegas area and you want to head to the Orleans for Super Toy Con, there are a number of wrestling names that are going to be there. Who's coming?
I know that John Cena, the Bella Twins, and Daniel Bryan will be there Sunday signing autographs. I think all the pre-sale is over, but I think you will be able to buy autographs at on site for those. And on Saturday, I think Kurt Angle is going to be there. I'm not sure what the ticket situation is for him. And then I also think Ron Simmons and The Godfather will be there during the Friday, Saturday, and Sunday as well.
How about that? Godfather's in the area.
Yes, he manages a establishment there.
An establishment. That's right. That's right. What are some of the...
Keep it family friendly.
Yes. What are some of the what can we look forward to this weekend?
I will be showing some new figures that I've been working on. We just had a show 2 weeks ago at San Diego Comic-Con where we showed a whole bunch of new figures that both were in the display cases and stuff we were working on. Some of those have actually come in, the samples of the figures that were shown there. I think I might actually be able to show the first ever Mattel AJ Styles figure. We just got the first sample from the factory, and it may need a tweak here or there, but I think it's pretty good, so I'm probably going to bring that and show that there. So that's some pretty big news.
That's awesome. Now, I had a chance to see some of the figures from San Diego's Comic-Con, including the Jerry Lawler one and things like that. But one thing I was actually curious about was the belts, because for a long time, it was just the older figures would be created, or guys that would have Legends contracts. And
if you ask about the Winged Eagle.
Well, the figures from the past would be created, but there didn't seem to be a lot of attention on the belts. And in the last couple of years, it seems to be more and more interest in those and some of the accessories that come with some of these guys. And how much interest do you have in that? Or were you ever that interested in belts? And is that just been something that's been part of the evolution of the figures?
It's funny. When I started designing the line back in 2008 in preparation for the 2010 launch, I always thought soft good accessories like the clothing and entrance attire was the most important thing to get on a figure. So I would go out of my way to get as much of that on as possible, maybe to the detriment of including the belts. And then about a year into the line, I realized there was not that many belts and people were screaming for belts. So it's like, you know what, obviously there's a demand here that I didn't see. And so we've tried to get as many belts into the line as possible. And people just love belts. I mean, every time a new belt comes into the line, we could put that belt on a figure we don't think is going to necessarily sell very well. And because that figure includes the belt, that figure sells through very, very well.
The Western States Heritage Championship.
Yeah, sure.
Larry Zbysko.
Yeah. What do you think about the Winged Eagle, Bill? Is that not the best belt ever?
I am a very big fan of the Winged Eagle. I actually, I don't want to step on any toes here, but I would call that the best wrestling belt.
It is, of all time.
A very close second to the world title, the Ric Flair world belt. But
now, listen, I don't want to get you in trouble, so you're welcome to plead the fifth. But do you have any inside information into the design of the title that will be handed to the winner at SummerSlam on Raw?
I probably should not answer that, actually.
Okay. I've seen there's stuff all over the internet. I think I know what it's actually going to be, and I think I will be somewhat disappointed. I have seen mock-ups, I believe, of other belts, but we'll just wait and see, everybody. We shall wait and see. Shockmaster. Oh, go ahead, Mike.
Yes.
We'll do Shockmaster after Mike's question.
The Shockmaster was our San Diego Comic-Con exclusive this year. It was, I don't know if anyone, it kind of when we announced it online, it's it kind of made a pretty big splash on social media, which is the intent. We did a special package where we took our standard elite package and we packed him out sort of like falling through the back of the package. So he's actually packed upside down with a big hole in the back of the package to show, you know, to commemorate basically the highlight of the Shockmaster's career. And he actually was in the San Diego Comic-Con signing it on Friday. So I actually got to meet the Shockmaster and wear the helmet. And that
really?
That was pretty cool.
I was going to ask if it came with like a breakaway wall.
No, but it does come with the entrance cloak, the black cloak, and a space soldier helmet.
You know, I, cheap plug here, am the co-author of Death of WCW. I have been reading it for the upcoming audiobook and another plug. And when I look at all of the stuff that happened in this company in 1998, 1999, and 2000, it is really amazing that the Shockmaster is so legendary. On the grand scheme of stupid things that happened in this company, that's like at the bottom of the list, but it's legendary.
I think it's because the clip, like a lot of people, even if you don't follow wrestling, when you see that clip, it's just such an immediate and epic, you know, failure that even if you don't follow wrestling, you find it hilarious. Just a big guy in a suit falling through a wall, and then when he gets his bearings, he's still a guy with a sparkly, you know, space soldier helmet on.
So, it was.
I don't even know what they expected to work to begin with. And then the fact that he, like, fell through the wall, you know, it just made it even, you know, that much more ridiculous.
An amazing moment in the history of this business. Over 20 years ago. That's how old we all are.
And we do have leftover from San Diego. We did not sell out of the Shockmaster at San Diego. So if anyone still does not have the figure, there will be limited amounts put available on MattyCollector.com very, very soon.
Now, is there a Shockmaster figure that also includes the Winged Eagle?
No, unfortunately, no. That wouldn't be accurate, and our collectors are pretty much sticklers for accuracy on the figure.
Oh, man. So really, like you mentioned that you could put a belt on a figure that's not going to sell very well, and it will sell much better. But you still have to be careful that the belt has to be accurate. It can't be a belt that a guy's never won, for example.
No, it would have to, it would be something that the person has won in the ring.
Okay. Now, that's a lot easier nowadays.
Well, yeah, really.
Might make my job a little easier, the proliferation of titles when yes. I'm looking for accessories to include in the Elite line.
Yes.
You know, if something doesn't come to mind right away, if the person's won a belt and we haven't done that belt in a while, you know, it makes a lot of sense.
You brought up AJ Styles earlier on, the possibility about having debuting one of the first ones. Can you kind of talk about the power of the NXT fan base? Because I am going to go out on a limb and assume that characters like Bayley and pre-orders for such characters have had to been pretty good. And obviously, they're continuing to make those with the NXT brand on them. How important is that NXT fan base, and how passionate are they about their guys and anything marketed with the NXT name on it?
The NXT stuff sells extremely well, and we've had some examples recently. We did an elite version of Finn Balor recently in full demon makeup, the debut figure, and that figure came out in Elite Series 41, and I've seen Elite 41 in the stores. I've never seen that figure in the stores, so that means that figure is selling out immediately. We did an Elite Sami Zayn with the NXT title. And again, I've never seen that in store. So obviously that fan base is very, very strong, very vocal, and very willing to spend money on product, you know, associated with it, which is great news for me because I'm a fan of it as well. I love the fact that I get to make some of the NXT characters. I can't believe I got to design a Shinsuke Nakamura figure.
That's where I kind of wanted to figure
for me for the past couple of years. And then, you know, this year I found out I was able to do it. It's unbelievable.
Well, I mean, going to that direction is kind of where I wanted to go with it, about the, you know, a Nakamura figure and, you know, the possibilities of how well that will sell, not only here, but as an import going back over to Japan. I mean, does that play into your mind? How does that work as far as the development of, you know, the first line, not only the first figure that we'll see in maybe an Elite series, but the whole mindset behind a development of Nakamura line?
Well, I just knew that obviously he has a built-in fan base, so there's going to be people that will buy him, you know, that knew him only from watching him on New Japan, so we're going to get that audience. We're going to get the audience of everyone that watched the debut live, the audience of everyone that watched it on the network, and he's all over the network, and, like, he's, like, you know, like the main focal point of NXT right now. So it's, like, when when I plan the line and include him, I know that that's a figure that we can sort of use as an anchor figure to move units, and so that if there's someone else in the assortment that maybe I want to do because I think it's interesting, or but it doesn't have quite the audience for it, then we can go heavy on some people like that, like a Nakamura, like a John Cena, or an AJ Styles, and then we can include people like, let's just say for instance, like a Carmella, who the spotlight hasn't been on as much, but we know that there is an audience for some for a brand new character like that.
This guy here says, I had to make vision boards at work. Mine has the Winged Eagle belt. It's not only better, but more inspirational than any belt.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Man. You know, when you talk about the NXT figures that sell so well, it is really amazing when you consider that the WWE Network is in 1.4 million homes or whatever. And you know that not every single home is watching NXT. You're looking at an audience, really, of less than a million hardcore fans, and these people are crazy for this product and will spend a lot of money on it. It's kind of crazy.
It's very advantageous for me that because I can pull from not only the main WWE roster, but I can go deep into the NXT roster and pull from there and know that the figures will sell. So that's very helpful to have, almost double the pool to pull from when I'm picking slots. Picking figures to fill the slots of release dates.
Now, that begs a question very quickly. So sure. There are a lot of guys from NXT and girls who have been called up to the main roster. How do the sales do after they get called up? Is the NXT fan base so rabid that the sales only increase slightly? Or is the audience for the main roster so vast that you see a giant jump when they get called up?
I think it's probably on a case-by-case basis. I haven't seen an instance where something has gone up either dramatically or gone down dramatically based off the call-up. I think a lot of that is because the people that go through NXT are still relatively new, and newer characters tend to sell quicker in short bursts than like an established character that hasn't had much of an appearance change. So we can do like this year, like a Sami Zayn or a Kevin Owens, like we'll sell a lot of them this year, but once they're established on the roster, we'll probably pull back a little in how much we use them just because they're like the novelty of having those figures kind of wears off. And then you're kind of dealing with people that maybe have those characters already and you're selling to someone who's brand new, either like a new kid or someone else who has decided to start collecting the line and now just doesn't have that character yet.
Bill McKenna is going to be at Super Toy Con at the Orleans Hotel in Las Vegas this weekend. Ron Simmons and Godfather will be there Friday through Sunday. It is believed Kurt Angle will be there Saturday. And for sure, John Cena, the Bellas, and Daniel Bryan, a shocking quartet, will be there on Sunday. And photos and autograph opportunities will be available. And MattyCollector.com, I guess, is a good website to go to. Bill, got about a minute here. What else should we know?
Sure. Plugs. About the line, I will be showing some new products at the Super Toy Con this year. If you come to the show, there will be some new stuff that isn't available yet, but will be coming out soon that wasn't shown 2 weeks ago at San Diego Comic-Con. And start checking back MattyCollector.com. I don't know the exact date it's going on sale, but I do know that the Shockmaster will be available soon on that website.
All right, Bill, I want to thank you so much for doing the show today, and I'm sure we'll talk to you again very soon. And everyone else, we'll be back in just a moment with more Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Sometimes love.
Hi, I'm Dr. Robert Clapper, Chief of Orthopedic Surgery at Cedars-Sinai Medical Group in Los Angeles, California. Dedicated to your health, your life, and your sports. As a weekend warrior, you know about sports injuries and pain. Exercise is an important element in keeping your body's core in good shape to minimize sports injuries. But when you are in pain, there is one product that I recommend to my patients, and that is Blue Goo Gel. Blue Goo consists of a proprietary formula developed specifically for the treatment of inflammation and general muscle aches and strains. I recommend Blue Goo for my patients coping with hip and knee pain before surgery, especially bursitis and tendonitis. Give Blue Lugu a try. Call 1-888-330-0123, and you'll receive a one-week supply of Blue Goo absolutely free. The makers of Blue Goo are even paying the shipping. The number again is 1-888-330-0123. If you want more information on Blue Goo, visit online at www.dothegoo.com.
Now available at select Big Five stores near you.
Hey there, travelers. You going somewhere? Need a hotel? Then call Hotel Wiz anytime, day or night, for rates too low to publish. You can save up to 75% on over 500,000 hotels across the globe and get our best price guarantee with no booking or cancellation fees ever. We've got some of the lowest hotel prices you'll find in New York, Chicago, Las Vegas, San Francisco, Washington, D.C., and a lot more. Don't waste your time surfing for deals. Make a free call right now and find deals too low to publish. Save up to 75% right now with no cancellation fees. And to make it even easier on you, we're here 24/7 to help. So call right now. Bookmark us in your cell phone. Whatever you need to do, just pick up the phone and call this number for hotel deals that'll knock your socks off.
800-507-3777. 800-507-3777. 800-507-3777. 800-507-3777.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation
at 800-760-4895, 800-760-4895.
We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off.
Call 800-760-4895, 800-760-4895, 800-760-4895. That's 800-760-4895.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
The big guy Ryback. The first two supplements in production for Feed Me More Nutrition. The big guy testosterone booster and Wake Up Unlimited Energy. My main goal, Ryback says, is creating products that not only work better than anything on the market, but are actually good for you. I spend more at the end of the day because top quality ingredients are worth the extra price, but you can now take supplements that not only help you look good on the outside as well as the inside. All powders are naturally sweetened, and unlike many of the other products out there that use aspartame and sucralose, which have been proven to be nothing but bad for the human body. That's not true, by the way. Don't believe everything you read on the internet, everyone. No. I think Pepsi is actually putting aspartame back in their products because...
Silly. So silly.
It's not dangerous for you.
It's just silly, though.
Don't go on all these crazy websites, everybody. Don't be a Ryan and go on YouTube. See all this craziness. All right, everybody. We're out of here. The show will be live tomorrow one way or the other. I may not be here, but Mike will be. We'll find out.
Damn right.
Depends on how much I can finish on this book tonight, but I want to thank y'all for listening, everybody at Sports Byline USA, callers, listeners, Dave and Bill. We'll talk to you again next time. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.